Indeed, it was a pleasure to listen to that beautiful special that we just had and know of the greatness of Jesus Christ in our lives. In pondering over a few things that I might bring today, it seems like my sermon was kind of prepared, or the thoughts went through my mind as I ran here and there. I never had much time to sit down to really concentrate. And I found yesterday on several occasions my mind directed to a part of a reading in our Wednesday night prayer service. And I would like to read a verse from 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 4. And I would like for us to listen closely to this verse. We find, though, a little background of this. We find the Apostle Peter speaking to those who had obtained like precious faith. And this is the ones pointed that he was speaking to. Even though this is an all-involving scripture, now I would like to read. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I want us to think upon this particular passage of Scripture tonight as he spoke to those believers many years ago and told them that there was exceeding great and precious promises that were given unto them. And also it mentioned that they might escape, or that they might be partakers of the divine nature, and that they had escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And ever about us today, it seems like the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of other things entering in are constantly trying to defile the children of men. It is one of the things that was foretold of our day. But the part I want to note is that first part, and that is the exceeding great and precious promises. And this was given to those who had escaped the corruption, who had taken upon them the name of Jesus Christ, had entered the waters of baptism, and had complied with the way that Christ wanted them to live. And I want to touch upon some of these exceeding great and precious promises this afternoon, and I hope to be able to bring it out in a way that might show some of the things that happened in days past, some of the responsibility of today for each one of us, and that we are indeed a fortunate people this day, more fortunate than perhaps we will ever realize. And one of the greatest blessings I think we can count is the heritage of where we live in the United States of America. It is a great blessing, which I feel all too many people of this land have taken all too lightly. Now, there's a lot of other great nations on this earth, and I'm not trying to take away from any one of them. But certain freedoms, we have many freedoms that other nations or many nations do not have. And we can count that a blessing this day. And I would like to go back now to the days of Abraham. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, and this is found in the first four verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I wanted to speak about the great and marvelous blessings and precious promises and all these things today. And way back in the days of Abraham, and even before that there were some made, but I don't intend to go any further back than that. But anyway, there were some great blessings promised to Abraham. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, as he said to Abram of old. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that is one of the key things that I want to build upon today, is that in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And in other scriptures, it says all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And this will come up from time to time. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, when we talk about each one of us and think upon it, if we had to make a commitment like this when we were 75 years old, that would be quite a commitment, wouldn't it? It takes courage even to make one when one's 20 or 30 or 40 or in that area or 50. But here, Abraham was 75 years old, and he was told to leave his land and go to another land. But the promise was that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. Now I had a little side reference that I would like to turn to in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And there's much in that particular chapter concerning Abraham, but I don't intend to touch upon it all today. And this is found in verse 13. Now these people then, to whom all this promise was made, it says, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so they did leave their land, and they went to strange lands. But a lot of these things that was promised to Abraham weren't fulfilled then. These people died in the faith. But it says they were persuaded of them. They believed that one day they would be fulfilled. And you know that we live in the day wherein these things are going to start to be fulfilled before your very eyes. And so you want to be alert. You want to get your lives in order that we might be a part of this great work that is yet before us. It is such a tremendous work that is beyond our ability to even comprehend the greatness of it. And yet it will be done in the detail that the prophets of old and Jesus Christ and others prophesied that it would be. And it will be done in every detail, just like they said. And this work will be accomplished, and it is a great and marvelous work. As one time I had occasion in traveling in my missionary travels to talk to a young woman, and this has been several years ago, and she says, you know, I feel rather cheated. She says, you know, I read what's going to take place in all these scriptures and what's going to take place, and she says, I think maybe I might not be able to live as long as some, and she was concerned about that. And so I explained to her that she was living in the greatest day that there ever was upon the face of this earth. The prophets of old would have longed to be here, but they have died in the faith. But they were persuaded of these things, and they embraced them, but they were even as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Many of them, at least. And so when we think on this, we do live in a great day. These great things will be fulfilled, and it will not be long before many of them will be unfolded. How rapidly, I don't know, and nobody else really knows, but I do know it will be much more rapidly than we really can comprehend. For it says in the Scriptures that if Jesus Christ did not shorten His days, there'd be no flesh left upon the face of the earth. Now this don't mean He's going to take some of the minutes out of the day or some of the days out of a year or this. It don't mean that. But it means that things are going to happen in great rapidity upon the face of this land and upon the face of this earth. And so we do live in a great day. And so it behooves each one of us to get our lives closely associated with God and Christ. Now I want to turn back to some of the posterity of Abraham. We remember, as it came on down through one of his sons, there was one who had 12 sons, which composed the house of Israel. And I want to read some of the blessings almost 500 years later after that was made to Abraham. And this is found in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, speaking to the children of Israel, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Now there is a promise, a great and a marvelous promise that was made to the house of Israel many years ago, to set them on high above all the nations of the earth. And it says, all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then he went on to say they'd be blessed in their cities, they'd be blessed in their undertakings, they'd be blessed in their offspring. What a marvelous thing this would be. What a happy occasion It didn't say they wouldn't have adversity and trial and maybe a bit of tribulation with it, but it said they would be blessed in all these things. It said they would be blessed when they come in and when they went out. What a wonderful statement this was made to those people of old. And notice, in verse 7 it says, that the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. What a wonderful thing this is, to show what the power of God can do to a people who love and serve Him and keep His commandments. Now, God is a great God. He is a God who hears our prayers. He is a God who expects us to serve Him and keep His commandments. He is a God that does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, but yet His arm is reached out unto those who are in sin, beckoning them to come unto Him. And even as we read in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door unto me, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And then He says, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne." There, that promise, exceeding great and precious promises. Indeed, when we start analyzing the trials of life, and they're upon each and every one of us, it's a distressing time to live in. Even when you're trying to prepare for a reunion, there's obstacles at every turn. Something isn't going right, no matter where you are. It takes more time, or something comes up that don't work right, or something else. And sometimes maybe our patience gets stretched a little thin, or our tempers get a little out of order. But we must remember, there is one trying to tear down this work, and it's none other than the devil. And we're told to pray against him. And we're told to pray against the power of our enemies. And so we must remember to do this. We got a source of power, because we must have that source of power, because that evil one is going about trying to deceive everyone on the face and breadth of this earth. But we don't want to give him the victory, because through Jesus Christ is the victory and his resurrection from the dead. And we can have it. We'll point our lives toward that great end and keep his commandments. Verse 9 here, "The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, and he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth." Note this. This is significant. "And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee." What a great heritage God has promised to those who love him and keep his commandments. "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods." What a wonderful blessing. "In the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee." And note this, verse 12. "The Lord shall open thee his treasure," mind you, "the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season." What a wonderful thing that even is. And even here, it seems like the part of our United States now, there's portions that are suffering from a lack of water. And yet here this is. If a people followed God as they should, he said he would open, what? Well, it just said, the heaven to give the rain. He would open his good treasure. "The heaven to give rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." That is indeed a wonderful condition to be in. Now I want to just, before I complete this particular reading, I would like to turn over to Malachi. I just have mentioned here about the heaven to give rain, and there's another reading here. It's similar, but a little bit different. From Malachi, the 3rd chapter and verse 10. "And Malachi told these same people," Israel, Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now there is another exceeding great and precious promise. But let's go back into a little background of this reading in verse 7. And he told these people, it says, even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone astray. They haven't kept his ordinances. And then he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. But they said, wherein shall we return? And he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The answer was, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then the statement, to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And the promise to open the windows of heaven. And we go on down there, and it says that he would even rebuke the devourer for your sake. And your fruit would not be destroyed in the ground, or cast its fruit before its time. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I just wanted to tie this to that other, because again, these are part of the blessings that were held out to the children of Israel of old. And let me tell you, in the days of Christ, he spoke unto the Pharisees and the scribes and others. He says, woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, there was an important thing. Here was a people that paid tithes, but omitted judgment, the ability to make wise decisions. They omitted the part to be merciful. They omitted the faith. They were short in it. And we find in Hebrews it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But that isn't the whole part of that verse. For it went on to say, these ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other, the tithes, undone. And we find that Jesus Christ calls those in this continent to write the words of Malachi. So they were important. I would like to go back to Deuteronomy again, the 28th chapter. Because he promised to open his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land in season. But he goes on down in this same chapter in verse 15 and says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And instead of being blessed in the city, they'd be cursed in the city. And instead of being blessed in the basket, they'd be cursed in the basket. And even the fruit of their body would be cursed if they failed to serve the Lord God. And then I want to read on down to verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed. As he told these people of old, if you fail to keep my commandments, they would have vexation, trials, until they were destroyed because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And he also said here in verse 24 that he would make the rain of the land powder and dust until thou be destroyed. And we know this become a reality. These people at times served God, at other times they didn't serve God. But we find as time went on, they drifted farther and farther from God until their land was no longer blessed. The powder of it, or the ground become powder and dust because of the lack of rain. Of course, we know the story that in the 1800s at to Jerusalem, that the former and latter rains were restored. And I won't go into that part because there's too many things to take up in one afternoon. Now I want to go to another nation And we find at the time that Jerusalem was carried away in captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar that the prophets of old went among these people prophesying that they must repent of their wrongdoings, that there was great and marvelous blessings I'm sure they held out for them. And I hope this afternoon that I don't lull people away into maybe drowsiness or something like that. It's a tough afternoon to sit. But yet I hope I can keep the attention of everybody, because I feel I got something today I want to present, and I hope it touches the heart of every one of you here. And I would like to turn now to page 78 in the Book of Mormon. This is found in verses 18 to 21. And Lehi was one of these prophets. Jeremiah was on, Ezekiel and others that prophesied in that day. Wherefore I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as those whom the Lord God shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep his commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of this land. Now there is the land that you and I live on. And they shall be kept from all other nations. Now there is another promise. And all you've got to do is read what's happening today. Here Israel makes a little bombing raid over there and has upset the Arabian nation. And here we find the United States maybe even backing off and not supporting Israel. We don't know where we might wind up. We're sitting on a powder keg today. Israel's sitting on a powder keg. And we know that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto the Jews, unto all the house of Israel, unto the Indian peoples upon this land. It will be done in detail as has been prophesied, regardless of what anybody might decide to do as a man, or the intent of the devil, either one. And it says, also those who are upon this land shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess this land unto themselves. And of course, some of this sometimes takes in more than even the United States. It can, some of it even affects the American continents. And if so be that they shall keep his commandments, they shall be blessed upon the face of this land, and there shall be none to molest them. Now there is a promise. And if people of this nation would accept this book, what a great thing this would be, and serve God and so forth there. And there shall be none to molest them, nor to take away the land of their inheritance, and they shall dwell safely forever. In case you don't know, that's a long time. Turn back to page 76, verse 64. But behold, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they will repent. So these promises just go on and on and on. There's no end to these marvelous promises and great blessings. I'd like to turn over to the book of Ether now, the first chapter. And this is found in verse 35. And I believe this points our nation. Behold, this is a choice land. Listen closely where you and I live. And whosoever or whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all of the nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by these things which we have written. And so we find here a great promise. Do you know that this nation, this land over here, it takes in even maybe more than just the United States, was preserved and set apart for a righteous people? And there's an everlasting decree that whoever lives here will serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Or when they're ripe in iniquity, they'll be swept off the face and breadth of this land. And so these words were spoken. And it was spoken, and this know, O ye Gentiles, and I believe that's specifically pointed to us, that they may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye might not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. That's verse 34 on page 717. So the inhabitants of the land failed to heed this. First the Jaredites, secondly, the Nephites, and then the Gentile nations. What will be the ultimate end of the Gentile nations? Those who repent and are baptized and serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, will be numbered among those of Israel. But those who not will be swept off as the time comes. Go down to page 115 on page, or verse 115 on 725. A further statement in this same first chapter of Ether. Therefore, repent. And that is important. All ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and believe in my gospel and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So Jesus Christ is telling them there that these signs would follow the believers. And we find this same commission in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I like the affirmative, positive doctrine of Jesus Christ. This is no, say, they might happen or may happen. He says they will, in detail. And so the closer the children of God walk with him, the greater these blessings will be poured out upon them. And these are some of the things we long for. But we cannot discount for a minute of the blessings we've already received. We must remember to thank God for what we receive. And if we become a more thankful people, perhaps there will be more coming forth. Backing up into verse 15 and 16, the commission he gave to his ministry of old, his apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then it goes on to say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And again, when you think about this, this is part of the exceeding great and precious promises that the Apostle Peter promised to the children of men. And again, we could count our blessings as a song we sung today. Really, when it comes to a prayer service, if we'd start analyzing the greatness of God and what he's done for each one of us, you could hardly keep any of us in our seats. Start thinking about that when we gather to prayer service. He is a great God who can hear and answer prayer. And really, we live in a time when this arm of flesh will not sustain you. There might have been a time when there might have been more safety than there is today in the arm of flesh. But the arm of flesh will not save you or support you. It would only be your trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a plain and simple doctrine. There is our hope. Because God loved us enough to give His Son for each one of us. And so again, that is one of the great promises of life that has been given to us. I would like to turn to Matthew 9, 37, 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. And that's one of the things that kind of is a distressing thing to the people of the Church of Christ. They begin answering questions, or asking questions. We only have 6 apostles now instead of 12. Not many evangelists. We need more ministry. Let's read. It says here, the harvest is plenteous. That don't mean there's a lack of a harvest. The thing that's kind of hindering is the labors are few. Jesus Christ said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Do it with all the energy of your heart. I added that. That he will send forth labors into his harvest. There is a responsibility of every one of you. And don't take it lightly. It's part of the things we should do. You know, a number of years ago, the sons of Mosiah, Alma, and others, decreed to go to a wild and ferocious people, the Lamanite people, who didn't believe in God, who walked in the ways of sin, but they were determined to do this. And I would like to turn to page 397 in the Book of Mormon and read a few verses from there. And this starts with verse 79. And Ammon had this to say. And notice these wonderful words. And now these are the words of Ammon to his brethren, which say thus, My brothers and my brethren, behold, I say unto you, how great reason have we to rejoice. Oh, and we have reason to rejoice too. But note this, for could we have supposed when we started in the land of Zarahemla that God would have granted unto us such great blessings? And they went a number of years before this. And they went out from Zarahemla. They went out into these people, praying over it, which I'll touch upon shortly. And they says, could we have supposed that we could have been so successful and have done so much good? They couldn't even have thought upon it. And now I ask, what great blessings has he bestowed upon us? Can ye tell? Behold, I answer for you, for our brethren, the Lamanites, were in darkness. But it don't mean they weren't precious souls in the sight of God and Jesus Christ. Yea, even in the darkest abyss. But behold, how many of them are brought to behold the marvelous light of God. Yeah, exceeding great and precious promises came to these Lamanite peoples. And this is the blessing which hath been bestowed upon us, that we have been made instruments in the hands of God to bring about this great work. And he was thankful that they were made instruments in the hand of God to accomplish this great work. Behold, thousands of them do rejoice and have been brought under the fold of God. Behold, the field is ripe, or was ripe, and blessed are ye, for ye did thrust in the sickle, and did reap with your might. Yea, all the day long did ye labor. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the field again is ripe. It is white and ready to harvest. It's a task that's beyond our comprehension. But go back to the days of Gideon, when they started out with 22,000 and ended up with 300 to deliver a people. You know the story. I won't go into it today. But God does not have to have masses. But he does need a devoted people, a people who are committed to him, a people who are determined to live the gospel of Jesus Christ by their actions and their deeds. And their example, as well as the things that they do other than this. And behold, the number of your sheaves, and they shall be gathered into the garners, that they are not wasted. Yea, they shall not be beaten down by the storm at the last day. Yea, neither shall they be harried up by the whirlwinds. And goes on to say that the storm can't even penetrate them. And so what a wonderful thing this is. Now verse 87. But behold, they are in the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they are his, and he will raise them up at the last day. I'll tell you, these people, the sons of Mosiah, Alma, and other brethren that went with them had cause to rejoice because of the great and marvelous way that God did work with these people. Go back to the 12th chapter of Alma. And this is found in verses 3 on down. I'll read a bit there. But we find, after having journeyed many years, in fact it was a total of 14 years, that Alma happened to run on to the sons of Mosiah. And he was overjoyed that he found his brethren, and what he was overjoyed that they were still his brethren in the faith. After all these trials and tribulations, and some of them been cast into pits, and maybe stoned and all kinds of things, yet they were still his brethren in the Lord. These were the same people I was reading about who rejoiced because of the thousand had been brought unto repentance and who had turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. In verse 3, and what added more to his joy, and that is the joy of Alma, they were still his brethren in the Lord, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. And this is important for each one of us, that together we wax strong in the knowledge of the truth. and they were men of sound understanding. And we got a commission to increase our knowledge. You can turn to the third chapter of Proverbs and the fourth chapter of Proverbs and read about that thing called wisdom and understanding of the Lord. And it's something we each should point our lives to, a greater understanding of the Scriptures and the responsibility we each have. Now we find in all this, each one has to occupy according to his ability. We each have several abilities. God don't expect any more and any less, but he expects full measure for every one of your capacities. These men had searched the Scriptures diligently that they might know the Word of God. And that is important. But this is not all. They had given themselves unto much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. And that is important. And we need to unite our prayers that our ministry might preach with greater power unto the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, that it might be carried into the hearts of the children of men to stir them up to their reasonable service to God. And we've got a reasonable service to God, and perhaps all too often we've not fulfilled what has been placed upon us. I'd like to turn to Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So when somebody says the end is tomorrow, you know that that gospel of the kingdom has not been preached in all the world. And somebody who set aside a day, I think it was the 28th of June, and it's supposed to be gathered up into the air, this gospel of the kingdom still has to be preached in all the world. And then shall the end come. And again, the harvest is ripe and ready to harvest, and the labors are few. And so we need to unite our prayers that the Lord might send more labors into the harvest. For it is a great work. I'd like to turn to page 660 in the Book of Mormon. The words of Christ unto another people. This starts at verse 67. And I will remember the covenant which I've made with my people, and I've covenanted with them that I would gather them together in my own due time. Well, let's read on a little further. That I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. And it shall come to pass that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, and they shall believe in me, that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. Now, there is another one of the great tasks. More specifically here, this would be those who are gathered into to the land of Jerusalem here. But they will believe that Jesus is the Christ. They will believe in Jesus Christ. Now, even the Jewish people, as a religion today, do not believe this. There may be Jewish people who believe in Christ. But as a religion, they do not. But the time will come. Maybe not all. But the time will come when they will believe in Jesus Christ. But also this great promise is not alone to them. It's unto all the house of Israel scattered upon all the face of this earth, including those who are upon the North American and South American continents. Let's turn over to page 647, and we'll see a little bit of this before our eyes. Verse 42, Verily, verily I say unto you, thus hath the Father commanded me that I should give unto this people this land for their inheritance. What a wonderful thing that is. That is more specifically the Indian peoples. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which say, Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, And we heard about the love of singing among many people. Yes, that is important. Ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath covered his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. And not only that, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. And go back to verse 38. Concerning the Gentile peoples. But if the Gentiles will repent, they don't, there's a lot of cursing that's going to come on them. But if they repent and return unto me, saith the Lord, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. But if they will not, there's some drastic things to be unfolded unto them. I would like to go to the first reading that I had today from 2 Peter. This is found verse 4 again. I just want to reread that and a few verses that follow. Maybe a way to help us, to point us toward this great responsibility that is expected unto us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. And brothers and sisters, listen to this. Each one of you in here, no matter who you are, listen to this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. It is and already brought out, without faith you cannot please God. But you still have to add to this faith virtue, in a world where virtue is fastly fleeing away. As one writer said here, if there be any virtue in these things, think upon these things. If there be any justice in all these things, think on these goodly traits. And to virtue knowledge, a knowledge of what? In the world that is questing for all type of knowledge and able to do many marvelous things, including going to the moon and all this type of thing. Specifically, it's a knowledge of the way of life. It is a knowledge of the words of God. It is the responsibility of grasping the rod of iron, which is a representation of the word of God, which if you grasp will lead you to the tree of life, to be able to partake of the love of God. That is responsibility of knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. People must be a temperate people. Like King Benjamin of old said, it is not requisite that a man runneth faster than he has strength. And it seems like we set ourselves out to do more than we can do. And we need to take old lesson from King Benjamin of old. He outlined it pretty well, I'd say. And to temperance, patience. This is a trait. And people say, my patience is worn thin. So we're told to add to our temperance patience. And the trying of your faith worketh patience, Apostle James said. And so our faith will be tried. And everything isn't going to be done instantaneous. It isn't like these marvelous cake mixes we got today. Instant cake mixes. They just don't always work that well, you know. And some of them don't always even work that well. Anyway, patience is a great trait, and to patience, godliness. We need to walk in a godly manner. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And kindness is a great trait, and it'll cost you one nickel to be kind to somebody else. And yet all too often, people would rather walk on other people at work, or some even in churches or other places, maybe in schools. But brotherly kindness don't cost you anything. As Paul said in the Ephesian letters, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. A little verse, but a verse with a lot of impact. To brotherly kindness, the greatest of all, charity. Moroni said that charity is a pure love of Christ. And he also said to pray with all the energy of heart that you might be filled with that love. And so I hope that we might do this, that we might hearken unto these great and marvelous things. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So what a wonderful promise this is. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the plan of salvation can be unfolded unto such. And so we see the greatness of these things, and especially charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And it is important that we do point our lives toward this great and marvelous thing that can help us to walk closely to God. So I hope today that maybe I brought out a few things of responsibility in a hurried time to try to get something together to bring to your attention. But I hope I might have touched your lives with a greater determination to serve God and Jesus Christ, and of your responsibility individually and collectively this day as a part of the kingdom of God.